Well, good morning, everyone. I've been away for the past 2 weeks, but I'm glad to be back to worship with you all and to share from God's word again. Actually, I'm a little bit upset that like the day that I come back, a lot of the college students are away, and that's because they went to a fall getaway conference with crew. So we'll please keep them in our prayers, because even as we're worshiping God right now and hearing from his word, they are also worshiping God with us. But anyways, so just to remind everyone, we're in the middle of a sermon series that is called Wisdom from God through the book of James. Now, I know that it feels like a long time since we've been in the book of James, because last week we had a guest speaker, and then the week before it was a joint service, so I was preaching on a different passage. But yes, we are in a sermon series through the book of James. And just to remind you, the writer is James, who is the half-brother of Jesus, and he wanted to share with the church, with the, I guess, the Jewish believers at that time, that Jesus is the Lord, and that they can be able to receive wisdom from God, wisdom from above, concerning how they are to be loyal, how they are to be devoted to Jesus Christ and to God. So this is the whole theme of the book of James, to receive wisdom from God so that we can be loyal and devoted to God. And today, as we go into today's message, we'll be focusing on getting wisdom concerning about obedience, concerning practicing God's word. In other words, being doers of God's word. Now, whether you know it or not, I think everyone here, I hope you know that everyone is in the process of becoming something. Okay, let me say that again. Everyone is in the process of becoming something, whether you're doing it intentionally or whether you are not aware of it. So we are all always changing, always transforming into something. So you may be intentionally changing yourself and be like, oh, one day I want to be an engineer, or one day I want to be a lawyer, one day I want to join the football team, or one day I want to do this, do that. So there's this intentional becoming of something and changing of something that you may have and may follow some of the dreams that you have. But at the same time, there are some changes in our lives that we don't even realize that is happening. And it's unintentional, it's implicit, because that's just due to our human nature. Like, here's an observation that I usually make with a lot of people. Did you know that when I observe how some of you guys act and behave, I see a little bit of your parents in you? Now, I know that sounds a little bit scary, because, you know, because you grew up with your parents, your parents have a big influence on you. So sometimes you may say certain ways, like your demeanor, the words that you say, the way that you walk, and it reminds me of how your parents actually act and behave as well, too. So, like, your parents have an influence on you. So let me give you a couple of examples. Let's say, like, there was once a story of a father and a mother. And during dinner time, the father and the family will always tell the mother, "No, honey, I really enjoy the food that you cook for me every day. I love the food. Thank you very much." So every day, the father would say this. And then they have this young child. And the child, seeing the father do this, began to say that as well. And then, like, one day, the child was like before dinner, "Mommy, thank you for the food that you have cooked me. I really appreciate it. I think it tastes good." Even before, like, you know, she has eaten anything. And then she started taking a bite of food, and it was like, yeah, and then she just like spits it out. So like, but nonetheless, like, she had adopted a particular behavior. She had became something, even though she wasn't really realizing or intentionally doing. And actually, on the negative side, sometimes our parents can have a negative influence on us. You know, like, there was like a mother, like, she didn't realize that whenever she gets really angry, she would just start to grrr like that. And then she didn't realize that until her child, you know, one day became angry and it also started doing a grrr sound. And she was like, "Oh, where did that come from? I didn't realize that that was actually from me." Regardless of what it is, all of us are in the process of becoming something, whether we're intentionally doing it or whether we are unintentionally doing it. Now, concerning today's passage, you know, James actually talks about us becoming a doer of God's word. Or in other words, becoming someone who is obedient to God's word, someone who practices God's word. But I know that for all of us, we may have a struggle with obeying God's word. Sometimes we listen to God's word, we hear it, but then we just don't want to adopt it. You know, how can we actively become a doer of God's word? How can we actively be transformed into someone who will please God and obey God in everything that we do, especially when we're following His word? I think this is a struggle for all of us. But here, as we continue on in the sermon series through James, I believe that we will receive wisdom on how to be loyal and devoted to God concerning being doers of His word. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them out with me. Turn to the book of James. We're still in chapter 1. You know, we started this sermon series the beginning of this month in September, but yet we're still in chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to be focusing on verses 19 to 27. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. And as you turn there, I do want to give a little bit of a review since we haven't touched this book for a few weeks now. So if you look at the first 11 verses, so you can take your Bible, take your fingers, make a bracket like this, and put on the Bible from verses 1 to 11. This section was the first message that we talked about, and James here introduces three main themes which he returns to throughout this book. The first theme was about the testing of our trials. The second theme was about concerning wisdom from God, and then the third theme was concerning poverty and wealth, the socioeconomic situation in the church. Okay, now take your fingers, move over to verses 12 to 18. This section, which was the message that we talked about last time, I guess James expands upon the first theme about testing of trials by talking about temptations. So he expands that theme. And then now we reach to today's passage from verses 19 to 27. So use your finger, bracket that off in your Bibles. This section today, James expands upon the theme of the wisdom from God and also the theme of poverty and wealth. Okay, so I hope you're here with me. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. Please follow along as I read. James said, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22, here's the main verse here. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intensely at the natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Verse 26. "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, that is, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." This is the word of God. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and just like every Sunday, as we come before you in your word, we pray that you would teach us. Open our eyes, open our hearts. We pray that we will be able to see truths in your word that will help us to have an impression that would impact our lives, impact our hearts in a way which it would lead us to go live our life and to go in action, to practice your word. Father, take our struggles, take our burdens, and help us to know that we can overcome them through you. Father, we lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So today, from this passage, we're going to be answering one main question. And here's the question that we're going to answer. How can we know if we are actively becoming a doer of God's word? How can we know if we are actively becoming a doer of God's word? And from this passage, we'll see that there are three signs that we are to look for. Three signs to look for that will help us know if we are actively becoming a doer of God's word. And again, the main verse that we're focused on is verse 22 here. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know, the Greek word for be or being, you know, where it suggests that we are, it's a middle voice. So we are to actively become something. And in this case, become a doer of God's word. And yes, I know that God changes us, God transforms us, but we also have a role in actively becoming a doer of God's word. So how can we know if we are actively becoming this doer of God's word? So let's begin from the beginning of this passage again. So after, you know, James had talked about trials and temptations, James recognizes that there are people who may respond to their trials, respond to their temptation with anger. So that's why he needs to address that first. Reading from verse 19 again. James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers." So he affirms everyone as Christians, as his brothers, as his sisters. "Let every person be quick to hear, be slow to speak, and to be slow to anger." So James is addressing that we are to be slow to anger, quick to listen, and to be slow to speak. You know, I think you may all know that. And there are cases when you're in a certain trials, and it's very easy to get angry at someone. It's very easy to say, hey, and just be able to speak right away. Don't let that person talk and just get very angry. But here it says that this does not produce the righteousness of God. And I myself have failed in this aspect as well. You know, last month during our outdoor worship at Thatcher Park, so this is something that we do every single year, there's a situation that happened. So I had, you know, from the church taken a giant sign, you know, and written out, okay, English ministry, essentially just like telling the parents to drop off their kids here in for this pavilion. Because, you know, at the park, you know, people were trying to say, oh, the Chinese congregation here, English congregation here. So I purposely took this trouble of bringing my own sign, writing it out, and putting it right in front of our pavilion so that there won't be any confusion. But then something happened. There was a brother in the church who I drove by, and then all of a sudden, without asking, without doing anything, started taking my sign. And then I was like, what are you doing? So I started running over to him, and I was like, hey, this is our sign. Like, oh, you shouldn't do this. You should have asked me this. And I didn't let him explain himself. I didn't listen. I wasn't slow to listen. I wasn't slow to speak either. And I just became angry very quickly. You know, and I was very convicted by that. And I guess this brother wanted to take the sign up to like the front because there are some people who are still confused whether like our church was, oh, you turn left or turn right. But so there's some miscommunication there. But nonetheless, I share this example because I have failed in this aspect. I became angry very easily, and I had to apologize to this brother for what I did. You know, so James here wanted to let everyone know that we should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I think like some people say, oh, God made us with two ears and one mouth because we should listen more than we speak. I think it's a little bit cheesy, but it gets the point across. So, but instead of being angry, what should we do? Look at verse 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So rather than be angry, you should put away anger, put away all filthiness, put away all wickedness, and instead, to overcome our sin, we are to receive the implanted word, or God's word, with meekness. Let's answer our first question, or actually our only question for that matter. How can we know if we are actively becoming a doer of God's word? Here's the first sign. We know that we can actively become a doer of God's word if we humbly receive God's word. I'll say that again, for the first point, the first sign. We actively become a doer of God's word when we humbly receive God's word. And that makes sense. In order for us to do God's word, we first need to hear. We first need to receive it. And often, if we need to receive it, we need to have a level of meekness and humbleness. So this falls into the whole theme of James saying that we should be quick to hear, quick to hearing God's word. Some of you may have remembered me share this illustration before, but I feel like it's pretty well for this. Many of you know, I just flew back to Albany from Virginia yesterday afternoon, and this time I had to go through three different flights to get back home. And every time we get on the plane, and before takeoff, what usually happens? You know, the flight attendants will give us, basically a safety demonstration or show like this safety video. And then many of us are like, oh, I already heard all this before. Okay, now here's the belt buckle, clip it in this way, pull the strap to tighten. In the case of the change in air cabin pressure, a mask will drop down. Be sure to help out someone else before you help yourself. The black bag may not inflate. Oh, if you are in the... What was that? Okay, this is why I can't be... This is why I'm not a person who's paying attention to these safety videos, okay? At least you guys are paying attention to it. Or like, oh, when you put on your life vest, pull on these doohickeys to let it inflate. But, okay, you guys are paying attention. But like for people like me who say, oh, I already know all this, I don't really pay attention to it. So if I was ever in a plane crash, I probably may not survive as well. But you see, the people who aren't listening to these safety demonstrations and just playing on their phones and reading or whatever, they think they know everything. They have a level of pride in them. You know, if we have this pride in us, then we won't be able to listen. And this is the same thing when it comes to God's word. Whether you are hearing a sermon like right now, or whether you're in Sunday school, or whether you're reading the Bible yourself, we need to have a level of meekness. We need to have a level of humbleness in order to properly receive God's word, in order to properly hear God's word for what it is. And it's not only that. Look how James describes God's word in verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. The implanted word. So, I mean, this gives us a picture that, God is the one, he's like the gardener. He sows the seed in our hearts. He implants his word in us. And, after you plant something, it takes time. You need to cultivate the seed. You need to water it. You need to have a good soil for it to grow. So it's as we are receiving God's word, as you are listening to it, it takes time for it to grow and bear fruit in our heart. Again, how can we become doers of God's word if we have trouble listening and we have trouble receiving it in the first place? Again, how can we know if we are actively becoming a doer of God's word? Number one, we need to humbly receive God's word. So as an application, we should all be quick to listen and slow to speak whenever we are hearing God's word. Again, from Sunday school, from the sermon, from whenever you're reading the Bible yourself, we need to have a spirit of humbleness in us. Put down our pride. Stop thinking that, oh, I already heard this Bible story before. I already know everything that I have to learn. Because very often, God can actually teach you something that you didn't know before, even though you've read this passage before. And of course, pray. Pray that God will help you to receive his word and to open your eyes and hearts so that you can be able to learn. As we continue on in this passage, I believe there's a second sign that we'll see that will help indicate whether we are actively becoming someone who is a doer of God's word. Let's continue on. Please read with me from verse 22. James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intensely at his natural face in the mirror." So first of all, James basically says that, it's not merely us just hearing and receiving. So we may find, our first point, this act of receiving God's word, we have no problem with. We see that sign in our life and we think, I must be a doer of God's word. No, not necessarily. You may be receiving God's word, you may be hearing it, but then we may not actually be doing it or acting upon it or applying it. So that's why James is saying, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. How are we deceiving ourselves if we are just listening to God's word and just not actually doing it? Well, I think a lot of times we deceive ourselves in a religious sense because we think, oh, I hear God's word. I go to church every single Sunday. I must be in right standing before God. But you know, that is not always the case. We deceive ourselves when we say, I'm in right standing before God, and we aren't acting or obeying God's word, and when in reality, we aren't actually in good standing before God. If we think this way, then we are deceiving ourselves. Now, so think about it this way. Let's say that your parents ask you to do something, and you tell them, yes, I hear you, so you acknowledge that you heard them, and you said that you'll do it, but then you don't act upon it. You don't actually do what they ask. If that's the case, are you in right standing before your parents? Or let's say your boss comes into your office and asks you, hey, can you have this done for me by the end of the day? You know, it's very urgent, it's very important. And you acknowledge that you heard him and that you'll do it, but then end of the day comes, you don't do it. You don't obey, you don't do what he had asked. In that case, are you also in right standing before your boss? So same thing when it comes to God. If we hear God's word, but then we don't act and we don't practice it, are we right before God? And if we believe that we are, then we are, in our sense, are deceiving ourselves. We are in an act of deception against ourselves. So to help his readers understand this, James goes on and he gives an illustration. Start reading from verse 23. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intensely at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. Now, if you think about this illustration, it seems a little bit absurd. Like, how can anyone look at themselves in the mirror and then just walk away and just forget about how they look like? I guess some background to think about. You know, mirrors in the ancient biblical times are very different than the mirrors that we see today. You know, when we read this, we think of mirror, we think of something that we see in our bathroom mirror, which is very clear, and we can be able to clearly see ourselves. But ancient mirrors is actually made of bronze or copper that's polished really well so that there is some sort of reflection, but the reflection is very dim. The reflection can often like be a distorted view of how you actually look like. So in this illustration, you have this man looking into this ancient mirror, and you know he can't have a quick glance at it. He has to look very intensely at it. And actually, that's the word that's being used here. He is like a man who looks intensely at his natural face in the mirror. So he has to study it. He has to look at it for a very, very long time just so he can get a clear picture of how he looks like. So it's not like it was a quick glance. And then afterwards, he walks away, and then he completely forgets about how he looks like. So this shows that it's even a greater absurdity that is there. So likewise, you know, because this man had forgotten how his face looked, it means that when he was studying, there was no impression on him and no remembering about how he looks like. There's no impression. There's no impact on it. So at the same time, James is using this illustration to describe our relationship with God whenever we approach God's word. We could be someone who is reading God's word or hearing God's word, and we are studying it. We are looking intensely at it. Again, this is the same words that we see in this passage. Look at verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, you know, someone who looks at the law very intensely, someone who studies it, they can also follow the same fate as the man who forgets his reflection, because he can study God's law, and God's law, God's word, has no impression on him. God's law can have no impact on his heart, can have no impact on his life, and as a result, there is no act of doing. Let's answer our question again. How can we know if we are actively becoming a doer of God's word? Here's the second sign. We know we are actively becoming a doer of God's word if our hearts are impacted through the intentional study of God's word. I'll say it one more time. We are actively becoming a doer of God's word if our hearts are impacted through the intentional study of God's word. How many times have we ever heard God's word or read God's word, and then we walk out of it saying, I have no idea what it says. I don't really understand anything. And sometimes, quite frankly, we say, I don't even care enough to understand what it's saying. even right now, is God's word impacting your heart as we speak? And because without this impact in your heart, how can we become doers? You won't be able to do something if it doesn't really affect your life. There are many times when I have read God's word as well, and I came to, God's word convicted me through the Holy Spirit, like especially in cases of my anger. Even in this verse that we read today in verse 19, to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. This impacted me and reminded me about how I had sinned recently. This causes me to act, to change, and to be transformed by God's will. Or maybe you are impacted by God's word by realizing that there's a world out there that is lost, that does not know Jesus Christ yet, that are not saved. Sometimes something like this can also impact us to go out and evangelize. So God's word can not only impact us in our own sins, it can also impact us by giving us a sort of a perspective on all the other peoples in the world, and also can impact us by showing us the greatness and the holiness of God. All these things are ways, are examples of how God's word can impact our hearts. Does God's word impact you? Whenever you hear a sermon, whenever you read the Bible, whenever you intentionally study it. See, we need to do this in order for us to become a doer of God's word. Finally, I believe in this passage we'll see a third sign that would indicate that we are actively becoming a doer of God's word. And actually, for this point, I'll give it to you right away. So here's the third sign. Number three, our practice of God's word would result in blessing and freedom from sin. So we are actively becoming doers of God's word if our practice of God's word results in blessing and freedom from sin. So we'll see this here in verse 25. James says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer and forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So, this is a sign, because if we see God's blessing, if we see change in our life, and if we see that we are free from sins that we've been confined to in the past, this is evidence. It's a great sign that shows that we are actively becoming a doer of God's word. So let's talk about that a little bit more. Verse 25, "But the one who looks into the perfect law," the one who studies it intensely, just like the man who studies his face in the mirror intensely. But then James describes what kind of law? The law of liberty. Or in other words, the law of freedom. So you may think, this seems like a paradox. How can a law actually be freeing? Because usually when we think of law, we think of rules. You say, don't do this, don't do that, don't murder. It seems to be a bunch of rules. It seems more restrictive. How can rules, how can a law, how can God's word be freeing, for that matter, can be liberating, can be seen as a blessing? But you see, God's word is the one that is perfect. Verse 5, it says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law." Back in the illustration, remember we talk about the ancient mirror. The ancient mirror is not a perfect reflection, even though it's polished bronze, polished copper, but there's a distortion in the image, and it's very dim. So that's not a true reflection of a person who looks into the ancient mirror. So in contrast, when we are looking intensely into God's word, it's not necessarily a bad reflection. It is the perfect law. It truly reflects who we are, because God's law points out our sinfulness. God's law points out that we are in need of Jesus Christ. We are in need of a Savior. That's why very often the Bible can be often seen as a mirror in that sense. By looking at this, we see our own sins are exposed, and the holiness of God and the greatness of God is also exposed. And shows how far away that we are from God and how we need a Savior. It's only when we come to this point in our lives where we realize that we are our Savior, where we can actually come to God for forgiveness and put our faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And then we can have freedom. Then we can have liberty. Now, this is why this is, James is calling God's word the law of liberty. God is transforming our lives. There are sins in the past where you have been indwelled with that you may have moved on because God has changed you. And you are now free from that. If you are a doer of God's word, you will see that evidence. You see that change, that transformation, and that blessing. You're no longer bound by sins in the past. We are to be sanctified in that sense. And as we continue on and conclude in this passage here, James gives a few examples of what this means, starting from verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So when James is talking about someone who is religious, we're talking about external practices, okay? So if someone who thinks, oh, I'm a good person, I do all these things outwardly, but then he gives in verse 26, but then does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. So here, James returns to the theme of being slow to speak. Earlier, we were talking about being quick to listen, and then now here, James talks about the theme of being slow to speak. Someone who's not bridling their tongue. So how many of you have ever rode a horse before? Or maybe a pony, that'll work. I once had a chance to ride a horse without a saddle on, and man, that hurts a lot. But anyways, so if you're riding a horse, you would put a bridle on this horse, because then you can be able to control the horse to turn left, to turn right. So this is the picture when James is talking about putting a bridle on your tongue. You're controlling your tongue. You're controlling your speech. You're being slow to speak, and in doing so, this shows an element of God's wisdom. This shows an element of God's, of the freedom from being angry, from talking very quickly and not listening. And God calls us to perfection as well. In verse 27, religion that is pure, again, this outwardly actions, that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphan and widows in their affliction. So here, James expands the whole idea about the theme of poverty and the rich in the church. So when he talks about visiting orphans and the widows, he's saying that by being transformed, by doing God's word, it should be affecting the way that you serve other people. So we talked about it should affect your speech in verse 26, and now we're talking about how it affects the way that you serve, particularly to orphans and the widows. And then it says the end of verse 26, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Here is also a call for separation from the world, a call for holiness, a call to not live your life like the other people in the world who are living in sin. So it's a call to be different in your speech, different in your service to one another, and different in your separation from the world. If we are actively becoming a doer of God's word, then there should be evidence of this. There should be evidence of just transformation in our life. You may be here right now feeling very hopeless and feeling bound by your sins. You may be thinking, oh, I have been struggling with this sin for a long time. But God says in that his law, his word, is the law of liberty. It's the law of freedom. He can be able to free you from that sin. And you can be able to experience God's blessing as you actively become a doer of God's word. So let's review everything that we've learned from this passage here, from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 26. Again, we're answering the main question: how can we know if we are actively becoming someone who does God's word, or becoming a doer of God's word? I mentioned that all of us, whether implicitly or explicitly, we are becoming something. So how do we know if we are actively becoming God's word? We said there are three signs. The first sign is this, that we are seeing ourselves humbly receiving God's word. So how can we do God's word if we aren't even listening or receiving it in the first place? The second sign, as we said, is this, that our hearts are impacted through the intentional study of God's word. So as we intentionally study God's word, as we intentionally listen during a sermon or in a Sunday school, or intentionally read, we should see whether God's word has an impact on our hearts, an impact on our lives, which will drive us into action. And finally, the third sign, as we just mentioned here, is that our practice of God's word would result in blessing and freedom from sin. Blessing and freedom from sin. So if we know that we're actively doing God's word, we should see this as a result. We should see this as a transformation. So I hope that this gives us some clarity. I hope that this gives us some encouragement for those of us who may be struggling with obeying God's word. You know, here, James gave us the whole wisdom from God concerning our loyalty and devotion to God, but focusing on our obedience by doing God's word. So now that we've finished chapter 1, we're finally done with the whole intro of James' epistle. So the three things that James mentioned in this chapter 1, you know, concerning wisdom from God, concerning the testing of trials, and concerning the whole idea of poverty and the rich, James expands upon these ideas even more through the rest of this book in James. So he goes through them backwards. So next week, when we start off with chapter 2, he'll expand the idea of poverty and the rich and how we can honor God even in situations like that. So would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer and respond in worship? Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for what you have shown us in your word. Lord, I pray that for those of us who are here today, we pray that we have received your word, that we were listening with a sense of meekness and humbleness so that we can be able to hear. And not only that, as we hear, I pray that your word will also impact us, that it will impact our hearts, impact our lives, and lead us to be doers of your word, to apply it. And when we do so, then we can be able to see how you are changing us, how you are blessing us, how you are freeing us from our sins through your word. And the whole world will see that we are different, that we are living out and we're believing in the one true God. Father, I know that a lot of times our actions really don't reflect us, especially if we call ourselves Christians. We may be seen as hypocrites in the eyes of the world. But Lord, may other people, when they see us, they will actually see you. And may they see their need for you as well and find faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, give us this hope and help us to become doers of your word throughout our whole life. Father, we lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.